Welcome to Attuned for Wholeness with me, Lisa Penny. Life is full of uncertainty, confusion, and heartache. It gets hard to manage at times. This show will combine your lived experience with self-awareness and prayer to help you navigate through those tough times. You know, those ones that keep you from living in a place of true harmony, fully attuned to your body, your soul, and your spirit. Attunement is a spiritual practice of getting emotionally honest and connecting with God so we can recover from daily life and our souls can go back to a place of rest. Together, we'll move away from the unhealthy ways of coping that temporarily alleviate the pressure, but ultimately leave us feeling more disconnected from our true selves. Attune for Wholeness with me, Lisa Penny, starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm back for the second show. In this show, we have Amanda Soa with us, and we're going to have a great conversation today. It lines right up with the show's introduction about temporarily alleviating from daily stress, but ultimately leaving us feeling more disconnected. Let me introduce you guys to Amanda. Say hi.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be here.
Amanda is a life coach. I trained her. She's a resiliency coach. She's also an artist, and she did the picture behind me. I totally love it for this room. She's also a nurse that cares for those in hospice. She's a lot of things. And to me, she's a gifted writer. Though she's never actually published anything, she writes very well. So, Amanda, I want to start by asking you, what made you decide it was time to make a change in how you interacted with people?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it wasn't an immediate thing that happened. I can honestly tell you is a years-long process. I'm in my mid-40s. And it probably wasn't about to the time I hit 40 when I started looking back on my life and reflecting, and I just knew something was wrong, something was off. And I've always been a lifelong learner, you know, obviously at my age and taking up just even my art skills and the life coaching, that's all evidence of things that I've always wanted more, always wanted to discover and grow. And so I came to the point where in my discovery and growth, there were just some things that weren't sitting well with me. I felt burdened by life. I felt weighed down. I felt a heaviness upon me. Of course, that was about the time I started seeking a deeper relationship with Christ. So I just kind of fell into line as I was deepening my relationship and my seeking of him. Things just started to come to my awareness that I still wasn't very sure what needed to change, but I knew some things had to change.
And if I remember correctly, you saw a change in a friend of yours. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, yes. So in this transition, I started serving women's and youth ministry, and it became, you know, and it still is a very, important part of my life and a passion, if you will. However, I didn't realize at the time, and we'll get into that more later, how I was being a people pleaser and a rescuer. So I had this women's group. It was running for about 3 years. I had one guest that she came faithfully every year. And I would run it for a season, like spring, and then I would take off, do it for fall. We'd take off winter and come back in the spring again. And when I met her, she was just so full of grief and anxiety and sorrow. There was just such a heaviness with her. And it really broke my heart because I didn't know how to reach her other than what I already knew how to do, which was praying and fellowship. And so then I think I took probably 6 months off. I re-upped the group again, and this participant came. And there was just something so different that evening. We were going around and having introductions and icebreakers. And I said to her, I stopped all the conversation because it was so shocking. And I said to her, there's something different about you. And I'm not talking like physically, you look the same, but spiritually, emotionally, like you got through all of what you shared with us and you didn't cry and you didn't start trembling and you look, you know, pretty sure of yourself. And she got the biggest, sweetest smile on her face. And she said, you know, it was my friend Lisa Penny. She said, I'd love to introduce the two of you. She said, I went to her life coach resiliency classes and it changed my life. And I said, you're not kidding, because I'm one of those people that a true testimony should show in your life, right? And so she was truly a living, walking testimony to me. And so I just come to this point that you and I were connected. And because of what she witnessed to me through the resiliency coaching, I had to be a part of it, not only for myself, but to help others find their healing as well.
That's really cool. I love how things just line up and we get connected with one another so that we can fulfill our life purpose. And that purpose changes all the time. Even when I think of you, you did the whole training and then you started doing artwork. And I can't wait to see how it all blends together.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So sometimes I call it soul coaching. Sometimes I call it spiritual growth coaching. But when I think of and remember back to when I coached you, I have to tell you, you were the fastest, most swiftest change I've seen come down the pike. And I've coached a lot of people, maybe not as many as others, but I've coached a good bit. But you took to the principles like a duck to water. And as soon as you heard it, it was like you understood it and were able to assimilate it. I mean, you're kind of smart that way. Are you that way with all of life?
I wouldn't say all of life. I truly, you know, as we had spoke about earlier, in the, you know, the Attuned app and everything that you're kind of leading up to, Lisa, is that prayerful relationship. And I feel like it was just the time, like God was slowly leading me in that direction. Like I was, and when I say leading me, what do I mean for people that are coming into a relationship or new? I mean that when we just start, things start to come naturally to us, because that's not us, right? I mean, that has to be a spiritual journey that's taking place. And so I have to say that it was just the timing of like who I met, when I met, and everything in my life leading up to that point, because I had spent, and people laugh, and they don't laugh like, you know, I get the candidness is what they laugh about. I said, I was in therapy for 20 years wasting all this money. And wow, like I had a couple coaching sessions and it was just like an aha moment. Mm. I just think when you do start to become spiritually aligned and attuned, as you know, your mission statement suggests, that things do come more naturally, because it's mind, body, and soul, right? It's not just your mind. It's not just your body. And I had always focused on different things at different times in my life, but never a holistic approach.
So were you like me, is that I was so up in my head, I was out of touch with what my body was telling me?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't have that. But when I started my healing journey, I don't know how I stumbled on it, but I became aware of the knot in my stomach. And then it clicked. Oh my God, this is why I have all these gut issues. And I think that all goes together, body, soul, spirit. One part affects the other. And it's kind of cool how we were created. But let me ask you this. What did you start to see in your own life that needed to change, or that showed up when you were being coached and when you were going through the resiliency training program? What things came to the surface?
Yes, that's all a good question. Just to circle back to the body thing. For years, I'd struggled with an autoimmune disease that was diagnosed at 20. And I don't even want to say it was a diagnosed disease. It was just, you have something autoimmune and end of story. But as I started healing and tracing things, I'm like, wow, you know, this is an internal stress. So I just lend, you know, to what you're saying. Absolutely, it's all connected. And as I heal, I do see my symptoms dissipating more. So back to the question, and I'm sorry, Lisa, because I kind of diverted. The question
it's okay.
was, can you repeat the question as you wanted me to answer? I'm sorry.
What things started to emerge? What did you start to notice?
Yeah. So what did I start to notice? So this passion that I had for women's ministry and youth ministry started becoming an irritant to me. Oh. And I was like, Lord, what is going on? Like, why are these women that I so graciously opened my door, prayed for, I thought the world of, and I still do, please don't take that wrong. Why is it now an irritant to me? Why do I feel like nails on a chalkboard? Mm-hmm. Why do I dread 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights to come? Why, when my church asks me to help with vacation Bible school, do I feel completely overwhelmed and want to hide? So it was those things that just, you know, my passion started to become things that I no longer liked. And I was like, what is going on? If I don't like this, what in the world am I going to do with myself? Mm-hmm. The things that I used to enjoy and find pleasure in were just starting to be things that I started to avoid and not want to do.
And if I remember correctly, as you were going through the program and as I coached you, one thing stood out really clear, at least for me, while I was coaching you, was that all of the things, all of the theologies of service and giving your life away were out of balance. Say a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that's a great point, too. So when I very started my started my walk, I was involved in a church, and that church was very big on, like, basically, if you're here and you have a pulse and a heartbeat, you're going to be plugged in to serve somewhere. And I was plugged in very quickly to, you know, I remember taking a spiritual gifting test, and the pastor's like, oh, okay, well, here you go. And of course, I got youth ministry. And so it was kind of pounded into my brain that a good Christian needed to be serving, and we needed to bear one another's burdens, and all of those things that people say that I think are not necessarily helpful. And then I started to think, well, you know, I also had it said to me, through our obedience and serving is our reflection of how much we love Jesus. Well, I'm thinking, well, I love him so much, so like I got to show people that. And so I just kind of got hooked up in that. Mm-hmm. And it was to my detriment, because then I didn't feel like I was doing enough and I needed to do more. And is this enough? And I've been doing this so long, but maybe I need to pick this up as well. And then mm-hmm. it just becomes, and I don't want to say an addiction, but it does. It becomes not for an addiction, but a coping mechanism, right?
It does. Yeah. We find that it temporarily alleviates this uncomfortable feeling.
Yes.
And then we're drained afterwards. Been there.
Yes.
I think one of the things that I discovered was that in some Christian circles, or maybe many Christian circles, that they don't have a way to see when somebody is serving out of because they're people pleasers, because they were raised to be people pleasers, and they don't necessarily detect or go far enough to detect when someone is doing it from an unhealthy place.
Absolutely.
Was there an unhealthy way that you fell into this that led to over-functioning?
Yeah. So, I mean, it goes back to my childhood, and I think most of us, you know, we can kind of look back, and again, people feel uncomfortable. Like I had a gentleman that I coached one time, and he said, look, my parents were great people and I don't want to disrespect them. And I'm like, look, nobody's trying to do that. We are all like, I even expect my children one day to say, well, mom, you know, you kind of did this and didn't do that. We need to be healthy enough to tease all of that out. Right. So when I say this, it's no disrespect to my parents, but my parents struggled with some mental health / addictive personalities and issues, right? And so as a child, I just fell into the classic, you know, fixer. You know, you have the scapegoat, you have the one that fixes, you have the one, you know, there's classic roles that we play. So mine was the fixer. And I, my anxiety from my parents not being able to show up and be what they needed to be because of their illnesses, I was the one that was putting out, you know, getting dinner started, cleaning the house, getting the, you know, siblings' laundry washed and ready and put away. And so it decreased my anxiety about who's going to take care of this, who's going to be the adult in this family, by going ahead and doing it myself and making sure everybody was happy. And so that pattern, I just continued to repeat. And it came to a point where I just repeated it over and over, and I had no clue what I was doing. I was just doing it. until, like I said, that I had this moment where I was like, wait, this is no longer making me feel good. It's making me feel worse.
And isn't it interesting how the patterns that we learn when we're young follow us into our adulthood? And personally, I think when we hit our 40s is when we're really, as women, forced to take a look at some of those patterns, because we're getting ready to slow down. Our kids are moving out, they're graduating, and everything's starting to shift. And that just seems to be one of the shifts that comes into focus. Oh, I need to change this. I need to work on this. I found that when I went on my healing journey, one thing that actually, it's still a part of my life, is, do I have capacity for this? Is this in my lane, or is it for someone else? I could be a warm body if I want to, but I choose not to because I have other things that I could do, which could be like as simple as staying home in my comfortable house.
Right.
So I wonder then, when you started to tease out some of these patterns, but the new thing hadn't emerged yet in your life, like art and coaching. How uncomfortable was that for you?
It was depressing, to be very honest with you. There was a time in between that I was on antidepressants, and I thought, and I linked it back to my autoimmune disease, right? Because it makes sense. You know, when you're chronically ill, there is, you know, a lot of patients do experience depression that goes with chronic illness. But as I continued the journey of teasing things out, I'm like, wait, no, this isn't, you know, and I do believe in situational depression as well as chemical depression. Mm-hmm. I was like, this doesn't belong to me. And not because I didn't want it, or I didn't want to be, you know, a person that had that diagnosis, because, you know what, so what? I just realized this isn't me. I've never had this issue. So as I started teasing things out, and again, with prayerful questioning and seeking, I realized that I was picking up things that were never meant to be mine. I was, you know, I burdened myself with other people's issues, their problems, and I didn't have any bandwidth. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know that it was okay to sit at home in your pajamas and say, I just don't want to go. I mean, I felt like,
yeah,
I was riddled with guilt and, you know, well, if I don't help, you know, Susie Smith, who's going to help her? And yeah, if I don't go, is this person going to still want to be my friend and still be in my life? So there was
hold that thought, because you said something about questions.
Yes.
You didn't question. And when we use a coaching model, we question things. We question our clients so that they can think deeper. What questions do you like to say, use for your own life, so that you can stay attuned, stay in balance? And what questions would you ask yourself?
I would ask myself, is this serving you in the way that is healing, or is it hindering you? Is this necessary for today? Mm-hmm. And then prayerfully, I've even went as far as praying and saying, God, is this something you have for me? Is mm-hmm. this something you want me to deal with? Do you want me to sleep on it? Do you want me to think about it? Because I often picked up things that I felt maybe were never mine to pick up.
Mm-hmm. So one question I like to ask myself, what's this giving me? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I find out that I have like a twisted desire, and I'm like, oh, so there's like true recognition, but like I'm striving to be seen and I shouldn't have to. And so if my motive is askew, then I step back and then I ask myself a few more questions, and I pray and I ask God, like, okay, so maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I am hustling for my worth. Or maybe it's an opportunity to get my head on straight and then move forward in whatever opportunities I have. Just wondering, have you ever found that when you ask yourself, what's this giving me, you find out, oh my God, this is just, my mind is just so muddled. Where do I come up with all these striving thoughts that I think are going to give me what I want, but really don't?
Yeah. So I think like almost probably every day I have to question myself. When you find yourself recovering from any kind of addiction or pattern, if you will, like a repeated pattern that maybe is negative, I stop myself at every turn before I obligate myself to something. I'm starting to, you know, and even prayerfully, is this something that I'm supposed to be picking up? Is this something that I'm supposed to be doing? Do I, you know, what is my purpose? What is my reason? Sometimes I still catch myself, and I thought this morning, you're doing this as a coping mechanism again. You want to be seen. You want to be heard. You want to be affirmed. And then I tell myself that's not a healthy way to be affirmed. And then I take it back to, you know, prayer. And I've been catching myself with that because sometimes, you know, words of affirmation are huge for me. And so I will recognize you want to be affirmed right now. How can you do that in a healthy way versus helping somebody and get them to say, Mandy, you know, you're such an angel and you're so great, because usually that'll do it. But that's at the cost of me overextending myself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so here's the other thing that I noticed is that I never factored my own wants, desire, and desires and true emotional needs into the equation. It was always, what does somebody else want or need? And what do I think God needs or expects? And I was nowhere in the equation. So sometimes I find myself doing things that I did not want to do. I think back to a time when our church was doing this big alternative to Halloween, but we were having like a horror house kind of thing. Not horror. And I was supposed to play a part. Well, I had to play a part when I was a kid in order to stay out of trouble. And what I discovered was I didn't want to pretend. I didn't want to be somebody else. I wanted to be who I am. And who I am is not an actor or an actress. So I just wonder, like, how many times we do that. So if I'm coaching somebody, I will ask them, not only what's this give you, but are you allowing yourself to have an honest opinion about this? Is this something you really want to do? Or do you feel like, I'm going to do it because there's nothing better to do? Do you do it because you don't know what you want? Right. And I think maybe we all do that kind of thing. We don't know what we want, so we go with the flow. And by going with the flow, we get, like, you know, a certain amount of friendship and acceptance, but it really, there's still something lacking because we still don't know what we want and we're doing things we don't want to do.
Right. And I can relate to that last part where you said that, you know, you thought, no, I don't want to do that. When I was a kid, I had to. I think that's the same thing where on my healing journey, I finally got to is just having a voice and saying, no, you know, when I was a kid, I had to do this because again, if I didn't, who would have? And if I didn't fix it, I had no other way. You know, when you're a kid, you don't know how to cope. Whatever works, works. Right. And I found that that worked for me. So as I got older, I think that's when I started feeling pressed in on, and it started, you know, I said it started to irritate me and I started to like not love this anymore. And I felt trapped by it. So again, it's just a part of that healing journey and attunement, Lisa, goes back to what we're discussing and, you know, as an overall being in tune with ourselves and knowing what is that uncomfortable feeling I'm feeling? Mm-hmm. Why do I feel irritated right now? why do I feel angry and defensive? But just always that asking. And when I would say why to myself, I started realizing because your authentic self is not blossoming and flourishing because you keep going back to those old patterns. And it was right? starting to irritate my spirit. My spirit's like, no, this isn't who you are. This isn't, and this will be for a later podcast, but obviously once I started recognizing that and stopped playing that patterned role, wow, the things that God like opened the doors for my eyes to see and accept are just so beautiful that I can't even like, I still sit and I'll paint for someone. Most recently I've been doing worship painting and gifting people with things that, you know, I'm prayerfully and they just like cry and tell me how touched they are. And I'm like, I would never, and I almost get angry a little bit because I'm like, I would never have known that I had this skill or this talent if I didn't heal, right? It's almost like right. pulling away the layers.
So you and I share the same thing. I never considered myself creative, but when the real me started to emerge, I found that my creativity showed up differently than yours, but I could build things and develop things out of nothing, programs and styles of coaching and meditations. And I mean, now I'm doing an app. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is so amazing when we get to that place, and we'll be doing this for the rest of our life. Like, I don't ever expect that I'll stop asking myself questions and asking God questions that fill my heart. So right. We have a few minutes left, and I want to ask you, what final thoughts do you have for our viewers today?
Yeah, so I saw this quote, and actually it meant so much to me that I wrote it down. I'd like to share it because it meant something deeply to me. The quote is, "May you have the courage to sit with discomfort like it's the dawn, like it's a dawn and not a death." And that's what this journey to this point has been, is having the courage to sit with being uncomfortable. Uncomfortable, not because of anything negative, uncomfortable because I can't repeat what patterns I've become used to.
Yeah. So you're coming back in 2 weeks to be with us, and we'll continue this discussion. Okay. You can find Amanda on Facebook, Amanda Soa. You'll see that her posts are absolutely beautiful, and she also puts up some of her paintings that you can check out. But right now, I want to pivot and tell you that we're getting down to the wire. I'd say in another 2 months, the Attuned app is going to be out. And that's going to be like a self-guided way to care for your own soul. It has all the components of attunement, and you can do this in your own home because really, we need it. We need that. And so what I'd like to say is, Amanda, you are such a gift to the world. You have this way of and sharing your life with people. And I'm looking forward to 2 more weeks when you share a little bit more of your story and what transformation, not just the healing journey, but what has shown up. We're going to go into that a little bit more. So in the meantime, Amanda, think about, you know, maybe some of your paintings that you might want to show us.
Yes, I love that.
Think about whatever else is showing up in your life. And to everybody else, we'll see you again in a few weeks. Thank you very much for listening and watching. I greatly appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in to Attuned for Wholeness. I hope you got the tune-up you needed today. Keep tuning in on the first and third Wednesday of every month at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time and 3:30 Central Time on TTM.com for more conversations around caring for our emotional health and spiritual well-being. I'd like to invite you to consider becoming a resiliency coach to develop the skills that will help others heal and bounce back quicker from negative events. Or maybe you're someone who's looking for a holistic and spiritual path to move through anxiety and unresolved trauma. For both of these resources, visit my website at www.wholenessandpractice.com. And thank you for listening to Attuned for Wholeness on Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.